Blog Talk Radio.
Come true, it can happen to you if you're young at heart. For it's hard, you will find, to be narrow of mind if you're young at heart. You can go to extremes with impossible schemes. You can laugh when your dreams fall apart at the seams, and life gets more exciting with each passing day. And love is either in your heart or on its way. Don't you know that it's worth every treasure on earth to be young at heart? For as rich as you are, it's much better by far to be young at heart. And if you should survive to 105...
Jim Hart, before you go on, I've got to make
can
a comment about this.
Guess who that singer was?
Well, everyone knows Jim Hart. It must be Frank Sinatra, but... That record was chosen because I think all of us at our age, everyone here, well, with the exception of maybe one or two, and you know who you are.
Thank you.
Okay, you're quite welcome. But we have that feeling of being young at heart, and we think back, our memories go back to those days, which we were young at heart. But most of the seniors that I've met and most of the retired people that I know with Eastern Airlines are still that. They are all young at heart. And that's the way we ought to be. And that's the way we ought to think. Being young at heart. Now, Jim Hart, you can have the floor and it's all yours.
Okay, Neil, thank you. I tell you, down here in the West Palm Beach area, we have a new... radio program. It's Dick Robinson, and it's on FM 100.3, and Sinatra is one of his favorites, and he plays music from the 40s and 50s. It's just fantastic. 100.3 on the FM dial. How about folks? Do you have a favorite you'd like to hear on our show? Let us know, and we'll even dedicate the song to whomever you would wish. Remember, listening to our radio, your main squeeze, as it would be called years later, I remember that. We might even insert some more songs you may remember back in the day if your producer can find them for us. Hello, folks. We're back, and as you can hear, our producer may have some surprises as we go into our 205th radio broadcast, our fifth year serving as the radio voice of Eastern Airlines. And again, I may remind you that no other airline represents their former employees in providing a weekly voice about their company as we do here at the EAL Radio Show. We bring you live talk with former employees, interviews with leading aviation authors, interviews with former and current presidents of Eastern, airline humor, serious airline real-life drama as told by former Eastern people, projects such as First Flight to introduce the new company back into the air, and so much, much more. And it's been a trip for us here at the radio station. And as you can tell, we enjoy talking about our favorite company, Eastern. Let's introduce our host for tonight's show. Neil, who do you see there on the producer's board right now?
Well, let's see. Let's start off right here in our studios, high up atop the building in Ponte Vedra, which we are one story high. But Steve Thompson is here with his lovely wife, Glenda, and his sister, Lynn Reinhardt, and her husband, John. And they have, as a matter of fact, I've got to take a picture of what they lay out here on the broadcast table. You know, I refer to this as kitchen tabletop radio. And by golly, tonight it is the kitchen table, because we've got lots of food here and having lots of fun and spirits. We're in good spirits, I should have said. But but at any rate, Steve, say hello to the folks and where you are and why you want to get back to North Carolina.
Thank you, Neil, and hi, listeners, and we have just enjoyed Neil Holland's hospitality and his suggestion as to where we should come and warm up in, instead of our 11 degrees below zero in Roaring Gap. And we are just having a great time here, and we are thinking about staying another month if the snow will stop. So we want to avoid that, and we are enjoying this, and thanks to you, Neil.
Yeah, that's a pleasure having you all of you here, and we look forward to coming back soon. And as a matter of fact, in North Carolina, we'll probably be heading up to see you when it gets so hot down here in Florida, where it is during the summertime.
We're going to hold you to that.
All right. We got two great places: Martha's Vineyard, which we'll learn about a little bit later, and
yay! Let's
okay, Chuck Albright down in the golf world. Chuck, how are things there in the Villages?
It's just fine. We've had a couple of nice days. The cold weather that the snowbirds brought down last week has kind of thinned out a little bit. I think we went over 70 degrees today, and so all 53 golf courses were pretty well jammed up, and we all had a good time today. I think we're going to have a little inclement weather towards the weekend, and then, of course, you guys up north are going to send us another cold weather down next week. But I think all in all, we've had a great day here, and we kind of wish everybody would come down here and see us. Back to you.
Okay, well, let's go over to North Carolina. Let's see. Hilton Head, South Carolina. Gay Harvey. Hello, Gay.
Yes. How are you?
Fine.
Good. Well, we're doing well here. It's unusual for us. They are predicting ice, and all the schools in the area have closed for tomorrow. But the high is supposed to be in the 40s, so not sure how that's going to work. But it's a little bit different for us here in Hilton Head, South Carolina.
Wow, yes, it is. It certainly is. Well, yeah. Let's move across over from South Carolina. Let's go over to North Carolina and over toward Asheville area. Hello, Jill.
Hi, everybody. We've had a pretty day here. It hasn't been real warm, but the sun's been out, and that's such a blessing. And we're looking for snow showers for about 12 hours into early tomorrow and through the day. But we're hanging in there. That's
okay.
The deal.
Well, before we go south, let's go back up north a little bit further and go up to Long Island, where we have two of our folks host with us tonight. Let's see. I see George Jen over in Long Island. George, how are things there? Are you out of the weather yet?
No, we're not, Neil. Unfortunately, yesterday we had a heat wave. It went up to about 42 or 43 degrees, but it's supposed to go down to zero tonight again. So I'll leave the rest to Frank because it's too depressing to even talk about it anymore.
Frank, is that true?
Yeah, it's like George said, it's getting depressing. We're still recuperating from 2 feet of snow last month. It's still on the ground, and we get a couple inches every other day on top of that, and it's supposed to go down to zero tonight.
Well, why don't you snowbirds come on down, and let's go down to South Florida and where we have Cecile Intriago. Hello, Cecile.
Hi, y'all. It's 73 degrees here. It's been absolutely gorgeous, and you can tell all the snowbirds are here because traffic is horrendous. Neil, the 954 area is my neighbors. They're listening in for the first time, Donna and Dave. Back to you, Neil.
Well, they sure are. I see their area codes right here flashing at me. So anytime they want to say hello, I'll open their microphone and as long as the dogs don't bark and the glass doesn't rattle in the glass, the ice doesn't rattle in the glasses, we'll be fine. So, by the way, anytime any of our guests, hello.
How do we do it?
How do I do it?
You're already on the air.
Oh my God, honey! Hello.
Isn't this exciting?
Yeah, it is. And I just want to say something very nice to you guys. This is the first time I've ever experienced this, and I'm just so happy that you allowed me to get in this mix, okay? My name is Donna, and I love you guys.
Donna, were you with Eastern Airlines or just a friend of Cecile's or both?
I'm a friend of Cecile, sweetheart. That's all.
Very good. Well, please say as many kind words as you like about Eastern Airlines. We always take that over the air. And
I used to fly them from Boston, but that's all I can tell you, sweetheart.
That's enough said. Very good. And we have another 954 guest.
Where's your niece button?
Don't know who it is.
Hi, Dale. It's Vito Borelli.
Vito. Hello,
hi,
Vito.
Vito.
Tell us
hey,
what's going
you?
On in Miami. Tell us what's happening, Vito.
Well, things are going well. I was just recuperating after being out of commission there for 3 weeks. I had gallbladder surgery, so I'm just getting back to normal. So things, I was back to the office today the first time, and I had an email from Cecile Intriago indicating the fact that they have a targeting date of our I'll apply for April 17th. I know she didn't mention that, but I got that email today from her. Sounds good.
She's going to tell us more about that.
Good.
Yeah. Very good.
Well,
Vito, we appreciate all that you do for keeping the Eastern family informed with the EARA newspaper and all that you guys do there and all the time that you've dedicated over the many, many years. And, of course, you've been paid royally, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's been my pleasure, Neil. I really enjoy it. So
yeah.
I enjoy listening to you guys.
Very good.
I'll try to be helpful as I can, okay?
Okay, very good. Well, thanks a lot. And let's see, we've got Cecile and Bill Joseph. Let's go to the west coast of Florida. Bill, what's happening over there?
Well, we call it the Nature Coast, as you know, north of Tampa, north of Clearwater, and started out with a little fog this morning. Sun came out, 75 degrees as our top for the day. And, George, we sleep at night at about 60 degrees with the windows wide open. Just wanted to let you know.
Well, if I left my windows open, Bill, I wouldn't wake up in the morning.
You'd have a snowman there in bed with you.
Oh, you got that right.
And, Tampa and St. Pete. Now, Bill, you used to be up in Colorado when you were with us a while back when you were living out there. But you still visit that area too, don't you?
That's correct, Neil. We'll be back out there May the 1st, and we stay out there until October.
Yeah. And, Bill, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, and I'm sure you will, that you were with Providence at Providence and or Hartford.
I was stationed with Eastern in Providence at the airport. I was down in Baltimore in the sales office and then at Bradley Field for 13 years in Hartford.
Okay, now we know where you've been. And
Bill, I have a question for you. This is George. Did you know a guy in Providence who worked for Mohawk, Arnie Messenger?
No, I did not. I knew the guy in Mohawk by the name of Franz Voot. I don't know if that name rings a bell with you, but I didn't know the Arnie Messenger at all.
Oh, okay.
I was there in 1968, George.
I was there in I was a captain for Viking Airlines back in 1968. And Arnie,
I remember Viking.
I flew for them for a year, and Arnie worked for them. He was at the ticket counter for Mohawk.
But they have De Havilland's, wasn't it?
No, it was Islanders.
Islanders, right. Right. Yeah, I remember Viking. You used to go out to Newport, didn't you?
Yeah, we went to Newport, out to Block Island, and up to Boston, and Providence, and Westerly.
Right. Okay. All of the airports in Rhode Island.
Very good. Okay, let's get a weather report from Jim Grayville in Atlanta, GA, home of the Braves, Chiefs, Hawks, and Falcons.
Hey, guys, how are y'all? It's kind of a miserable day here. It's not freezing, but it's in the high 30s. They say it's going down to 32 tonight, I think. How much of that's going to stick, we'll wait and see. But it's drizzle, and later on this afternoon, it got up. The sun came out for a little bit, but boy, up until about 2 o'clock, it was just, you walk outside, and it was just that biting cold. Of course, compared to you guys up in New York, but just, you know, kind of a miserable day.
Yeah.
But it's supposed to be down in mid-30s here all day tomorrow and the next day, so we'll see.
Okay.
Back to you, Neil.
Okay, well, you know, I think Al Rocker ought to listen to our weather reports at night on our radio show every Monday night because we have really accurate and up-to-date weather for our show here. And what a representation of the Eastern family we have as our host and those that volunteer to say a few words and also be on the program. The only person I've left out is you, Jim Hart. So you tell us what's happening in your area and take it from here.
I'm listening. Thank you, Neil. Well, down here, I'm surprised that Cecile had lower temperatures. We hit 82 today, and it was such a nice day. No clouds, no rain. I'll tell you, I received word from the caretaker on my home on the Martha's Vineyard. I couldn't believe this. He says we have 3 feet of snow on the level, and the temperature yesterday was 2 degrees above zero with a 45-mile-an-hour wind, which brought the wind chill factor down to somewhere around 30 below zero. We've never, ever had that kind of weather before. So apparently the world's weather is certainly changing.
Global warming.
Let's say, yes, that's correct. I think that we go to Bill now, don't we, Neil?
Yes, Bill. How about taking it from here?
Yes, we do, Jim. It's time to do some housekeeping. If you folks have listened to our past shows, you know that we can be reached online during our live broadcast. Our numbers once again are area code 213-816-1611 or toll free at 877-572-1861. Let me repeat those numbers. 213-816-1611 or toll free at 877-572-1861. Remember, when calling the show, make sure you press the number one button on your phone if you wish to connect live with our show and talk on air with our hosts. Jim, just as a reminder to our listeners, you can tune us in by going to www.ealradioshow.com and click the arrow in the circle on the radio icon, or go to our sponsor, the Retired Eastern Pilots Association website, and clicking the radio show's icon on the homepage. Their site is www.repaonline.com. Back to you, Jim.
Thanks very much, Bill. Neil, can you get that engine started for our show? Give us a good round engine.
Okay, well, stand by and clear prop.
Clear prop. Clear.
I said the chicken, huh?
Okay. It's always great.
Neil, what's our show about tonight?
Well, it's always great to start our show off by saying hello to our host and our guest, and that's what we've just done. But our show tonight, once again, we'd like to tell some stories by the men and women of Eastern as published in the EAL Radio Show's latest book. Well, I shouldn't have said latest book. It's first and only book at this point, but there is another book that's coming out soon, but the name of the first book, Volume 1, is The Wings of Many, and that's spelled M-A-N with a bracket of Y, Many. But first, let's listen to one of my favorites, and every time I sing this song, I sing along with it, the song that I'm about to play now. I love to sing this song here, and see if you can tell who the singer is and the piano player. I think you'll enjoy this one.
I found my thrill.
I met when I was about 21 years old. I met her on Mars Hill, and I remember Fats Domino singing that song, and I changed the words just a little bit. I found my thrill on Mars Hill. And so that's 57 years ago, by the way, actually about 60 if you want to count the courting time that it took to finally marry the lovely Peggy. And so anyhow, that song's been very popular for many, many years. Steve, did you have a comment about that?
No, Neil, I didn't. But
you want to start with his first story?
Yes, I'll be happy to, and thank you for that. And I just want to get back. I love that music. It just brings back so many memories that I know it does for you as you just related. Well, our first story is by Captain Jerry Wood, as written for the Retired Eastern Pilots Newsletter back in June of 1978. It's titled, a scientific diagnosis of an airline flying by a general practitioner. Airline flying is a sedentary existence accompanied by moments of intense consternation. It is indulged in by various male characters who live in towns they don't like, fly to places where they don't want to go, and occasionally can't find over a route which is completely uninteresting. The sole purpose of the trip is so the return journey can be made the following day. There's no other reason. The entire process is repeated periodically. Two of the male characters go on each trip. There's a senior character and a junior character. Now, the senior character sits on the left seat and tries to maintain an air of cool, calm, resourcefulness, and competence. He doesn't talk much unless he feels like it. He looks straight ahead. The junior character sits in the right seat, and his mannerisms are frequently touched with hesitancy and uncertainty. A wild look occasionally enters his eye. His palms are sometimes moist, and he doesn't talk much either, even when he does feel like it. He looks over at the senior character frequently and hopefully, usually all to no avail. The chief requirement for proficiency in this particular profession is the ability to sleep when you're not tired, then later stay awake when you're tired as hell. Everything else is easy. Fresh air is very bad for those junior characters. However, the senior character always protects him by sleeping in the bed by the window, thereby effectively blocking the entrance of that highly undesirable element. This protection is also amplified to include testing the shower first, precedence of egress and ingress through all doors, portals, cellars, taxi cabs, and airplanes. It is a magnanimous of the senior character to provide protection in view of the fact that they are paid the same for all such items of service. A junior character was once heard to mutter, "General Sherman must have been a co-pilot when he made his famous remark about the war." Most of those characters live with and quite frequently are married to a female character. She usually greets him upon the return from a tough trip with, "Why the blank blank didn't you get on 16 and 17? It pays $102.50 a round trip. Art Fay is on it, and you are senior to him. And they are living having their downstairs carpeted." There are many hobbies, some buy farms intending to be gentleman farmers, carefully overlooking the fact that they are unqualified by inclination and training to be either a gentleman or a farmer. Why buy expensive woodworking equipment, start to build furniture? This hobby is usually short-lived due to the running out of fingers and thumbs. The most popular, however, is studying the seniority list. A seniority list is a compendium of names and numbers representing all the characters on the airline. It is composed of good guys and louses. The ratios of the good guys to louses is, of course, contingent upon the viewpoint of the interested character. In other words, everyone with a number lower than his is a louse. Everyone with a number higher than his is a charming citizen. Then there are the senior characters, and they can be identified by graying temples, high foreheads, a cool, reserved attitude, and much dignity. As a rule, they don't stir around much during the day, preferring to remain in their accustomed haunts until the cool of the evening, or at least until 6 p.m. They're very active during the night, but disappeared shortly after 6 a.m. the following morning. No one has ever seen one during the heat of the day. These nocturnal characters are substantial citizens, usually owning large homes and small families. Their love for both is second only to their passion for conducting all their aeronautical activities between the hours of 6 p.m. and 6 a.m. Mighty puzzling. Temps one to stay up all night sometime. All in all, an amazing business. The character is now going to get his seniority list out and study it carefully. Might be a junior to Art Fay at that. What the hell? We'll carpet the whole joint. Come in, Jerry. Those were the good old days when a co-pilot was an apprentice rather than an assistant. Now, some of them think that they actually have rights instead of privileges. Captain Jerry Wood, June 1978,
Ray Partee. Here is another written by Captain Eddie Rickenbacker, Secretary Marguerite Sheppy Shepherd, to the editor of the newsletter. No, I had not forgotten your suggestion made some time ago. Send you some nostalgic accident about Captain Rickenbacker, but I've been away on a couple of trips, so decided when I was sending in my fees for the newsletter plus a small donation, I would send along the following, which seemed appropriate for the REPA members. Captain Rickenbacker has an uncanny sense of future happenings and a foreboding of any accident Eastern had, including his own. The one in mind was in the early days of Eastern when Captain Dick Merrill was floundering around in bad weather but finally landed at Fort Jervis. It was a Saturday, and as usual, the captain was at the office. About noon, it was snowing and a miserable day, and as the captain had a dinner engagement, he decided to have his dinner clothes sent down from Bronxville, and he would stay over. When word was received that Dick was having trouble, he remained at the office, keeping in touch with the field until it was time to go to the dinner and requested to be kept advised of any news received. The captain explained to his host he might have to leave early, so when he was advised that Dick had landed, he expressed his regrets and dashed out. The taxi driver stated he changed his clothes on his way to Newark. He was the first official to arrive there and handled the news reports himself. As always, business came first, and he was prepared for any difficulty. I also thought you might be interested in the attached poem, which the captain read to the various groups on his trips to the bases near World War II. Again, many thanks for your faithful service to REPA and its members, and do enjoy reading the bulletins. My best to all. Sincerely, Sheppy. Neil, can you read the poem? Or do you want me to?
Oh, sure. I'd be happy to. Okay. Folks, this was a poem that Captain Rickenbacker, just as Cecile mentioned, used to read either at the beginning or at the conclusion of his visit with the various bases back in the day. And it's entitled The Little Red God of Guts. The Little Red God of Guts. And it's anonymous. He didn't know, and Sheppy didn't know who the author was. So when she sent this poem to the folks at the Retired Eastern Pilots Association, she had to just say that they didn't know who the author was. But here's the way the poem went, The Little Red God of Guts. Here's a little red song to the God of Guts, who dwells in palaces, brothers' huts. The little red God with the craw of grits, the God who never learned how to quit. He is neither a fool with a frozen smile or a sad old toad in a case of bile. He can dance with a shoe nail in his heel, and never again, never a sign of pain would he reveal. He can hold a mob with an empty gun, and turn a tragedy into fun. Kill a man in a flash, a breath, or snatch a friend from the claws of death. Swallow the pill of assured defeat and plan attack on his slow retreat. Spin the wheel till the numbers dance and bite his thumb at the god of chance. Drink straight water with whiskey soaks or call for liquor with temperance folks. Tearless stand at the graven stone, yet weep in the silence of night alone. Worship a sweet white virgin's glove, or teach a courtesan how to love. Dare the dullness of fireside bliss, or stake his soul for a wanton's kiss. Blind his soul to a woman's eyes when she says she loves and he knows she lies. Shovel dung in the city mart to earn a crust for his chosen art. Build where the builders all have failed and sail the seas that no man has sailed. Run a tunnel or dam a stream or damn the men who financed the dream. Tell a pal what his work is worth, though he lose his last best friend on earth. Lend the critical money, elf. A razor hopping, he'll kill himself. Wear the garments he likes to wear, never dreaming that people stare. Go to church if his conscience wills, or find his own in the far blue hills. He is kind and gentle, or harsh and gruff. He is tender as love, or he's rawhide tough. A roughneck rider in spurs and chaps, or well-groomed son of the town, perhaps. And this is the little red god I sing, who cares not a wallop for anything, that walks or gallops, that crawls or struts, no matter how clothed, if it hasn't guts. Great poem that only Captain Eddie could render a poem like that, and I'm sure when he did deliver that poem, it had all the emotions that a person could want to hear someone deliver. Yes, somebody made a comment about that.
Now, this is Chuck. I was wondering about a song about now.
Okay, well, let's play a song.
Number two.
Okay, let's play number two. What do you think it's going to be tonight?
Hail, hail, ooh, the gang's all here.
Well, that is appropriate, Jeff, but let's see if we can find another one in the archive here of good songs. As a matter of fact, the one that,
that I had here
is this one. And if you guys don't know where this song came from, then bad. Okay? bad on you. All right. First one that answers, let's see, what can we give them? I can't give them a book.
Time.
I can't afford to give them a book. But let's see if you can remember this one, folks.
Kiss is still a kiss, a sigh,
Casablanca.
Just a sigh. The fundamental things apply as time goes by. And when two lovers woo, they still say I love you. All that you can rely. No matter what the future brings, as time goes by.
Well, we remember that one, and you remember the famous saying in that movie? Play it again, Sam.
Play it again, Sam.
Play it again, Sam.
Now, who was Sam?
Sam was a piano player in Casablanca.
Very good, Chuck.
Absolutely.
And who are the stars in that great movie?
Humphrey Bogart and I can't think of her name, but I can see her face.
Lorraine McCall.
No. No.
McCall?
No.
Oh.
She played.
I'm like, I can see her face too.
Her daughter's famous too.
Well, because of time, I'm going to give you the name Ingrid Bergman. Ingrid Bergman.
Right.
Bergman.
Bergman.
Bergman. Oh, yeah.
Bergman.
As a matter of fact, I went and saw that movie on the internet just the other day, and I decided that's a great song, and we've got to play it. And Sam did a great job.
It's still the same.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Chuck, what do you got for it?
Well, I guess it's probably more folks wanted to be pilots than wanted to be mechanics. The title of this story is Why I Wanted to Be an Airline Pilot. It's anonymous. I wanted to be an airline pilot when I grew up because it's a fun job, easy to do. That's why there's so many pilots flying around today. Pilots don't need much school. They must have learned to read numbers so they can read instruments. I guess they should be able to read road maps so they can find their way if they get lost. Pilots should be brave so they won't be scared if it's foggy and they can't see, or if a wing or a motor falls off. They should stay calm. Pilots have to have good eyes to see through the clouds. They can't be afraid of lightning or thunder because they're closer to them than we are. Salary pirates make another thing I like. They make more money than they can even spend. This is because most folks think that pilots flying is dangerous, except pilots. They don't know. They know it's easy. There isn't much I don't like except that girls like pilots, and all the stewards want to marry pilots, so they always have to chase them away so they don't bother them. I hope I don't get airsick, because I get car sick, and if I get airsick, I couldn't be a pilot. Then I'd have to go to work. This is an unknown pre-teenager. I might add, then if I have to go and get a real job, I'll become an aircraft mechanic.
Well, Chuck, since I'm not a mechanic nor a pilot, let's see what the job description is for a co-pilot. The co-pilot by Captain Keith Murray. I'm the co-pilot. I sit on the right. It's up to me to be quick and bright. I never talk back, for I'd have regrets, but I have to remember what the captain forgets. I make up the flight plan and study the weather, pull up the gear, and stand by the feather. Make out the mail forms and do the reporting, and fly the old crate while the captain is courting. I take the readings, adjust the power, put on the heaters when we're in the shower, tell them where we are on darkest night, and do all the bookwork without any light. I call for my captain. I buy him Cokes. I always laugh at his corny jokes. And once in a while, when his landings are rusty, I always come through with, gosh, but it's gusty. All in all, I'm a general stooge, as I sit on the right of the man I call Scrooge. I guess you think it is past understanding, but maybe someday he will give me a landing. And remember, folks, those immortal words of the co-pilot. Clear right, and I'll take the chicken.
Very good. Excellent.
Thanks, Bill. You still laughing
you.
From me.
Okay.
Well, I was a flight attendant for 20 years, and I remember layovers similar to the one written by Alexa Conway. And it's called Pilots at the Pool. I remember a summer layover in Houston. In summer, you could count on the flight attendants heading down to the pool right away. Sometimes the pilots came along, sometimes not. However, Houston was an entirely different case. The word had quickly spread amongst the pilots that the Scandinavian Airlines laid over at the same hotel. The pilots were usually down there before the flight attendants on our crew. The reason was to very clearly. Scandinavian women would doff their bathing suit tops. Excuse me. I lost my place here. The flight attendants did not pay any attention when the Scandinavian women doffed their bathing tops immediately to get a better tan. The pilots were there, cameras in hand, acting like little kids. It was funny. The boys just don't always grow up. After several weeks of this, we all hit the pool, and here they came. The interest and excitement was palpable. However, this time, there was a family at the pool. Kids splashing in the waiting pool. The father was not happy. He stormed into the hotel and lodged a complaint. In a few minutes, a young, fresh-faced boy, who was more likely about 19, came out. He would have preferred to be anything but there. He approached the woman who ignored him. He finally explained haltingly that he could not allow them to sunbathe naked. Well, they were not naked and stood up to point that out. He died there, but somehow kept standing. He did not know where to look. The pilots were almost beside themselves with glee, cameras flashing. Guts in hand, the poor kids stammered that the women would have to put their tops back on. They were very annoyed and showed it. They sighed and glared and began putting on their tops. The young employee started back to the lobby, ducking soft cans, drink cans, food taunts, and booze. The pilots were showing their dismay. They threw everything they could to that poor boy. It was funny, though. George?
Well, I guess if I can find George's.
I'm here,
George?
Neil.
Okay,
yeah,
very good.
Yeah, one of the most prolific writers of Eastern stories has to be none other than Captain Bill Malone, better known to most of his crew members as Matey Malone. And he wrote a piece entitled Hijackings. All of us from Eastern recall the frequent hijackings to Cuba that took place back in the 1960s. Eastern Airlines took the brunt of this nefarious activity, probably because Eastern provided the most service in and out of Miami, where most of the hijacking occurred. Ed Guldener, who was a station manager in Tampa at the time, remembers well the day in July of 1961 when Bill Buchanan, while being held at gunpoint, turned his Lockheed Electra from his Miami to Dallas and Fort Worth flight and headed instead off to Cuba. Cuban hijackings happened to Slim Babbitt, R.D. Smith, and many others. One hijacker even shot and killed one of our agents in the jetway in Houston. In another case, Tom Mayberry landed in Cuba, flying almost on the kerosene fumes in the tanks when the hijacker refused to allow him to refuel. After that, Tom said, quote, "The only time you have too much fuel is when you're on fire." By the way, I use that line in my novel. To give you an idea how many, in 1969 alone, there were 57 hijackings to Cuba. In yet another case, in 1969, a hijacker forced Captain John Tim and his crew to fly to Cuba at gunpoint. Now, 30 years later, a captured suspect is back in the United States, extradited from Canada to stand trial. The suspect caught the attention of the American Border Patrol at a border crossing near Alexandria Bay, New York, after he made repeated visits to the United States. Arraigned in federal district court in Manhattan, the now 63-year-old suspect pled not guilty. This guy lived in New York during the 50s and 60s and has lived for the past 7 years in Canada. In fact, not far from the United States border, where he worked as a school janitor. After living in Cuba, he moved back to his native land, the Dominican Republic, where he met his wife, who was vacationing there. He moved to Canada in 1990 and didn't appear to be living a life in hiding. The Border Patrol somehow learned his identity and began background checks to see if he was the same person who was wanted. Federal prosecutors in New York contacted the FBI to determine that there was still enough evidence to prosecute the case. Of course, his lawyer contends that the statute of limitations on the crime has expired. Federal prosecutors say fleeing the country suspends the time limits. It's too bad that Captain John Tem, who died in 1971, isn't here to hopefully see justice prevail after all these years. Gay?
Hello, Gail.
Gay, you there, Gay?
Gay Harvey?
Yeah, Gay's with
us.
Can
you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you now, Gay.
Okay.
Everybody's yelling for you to tell us your story.
Okay, here's a story. It's called The Captain and His Coffee by Marge Frost. In the mid-70s, when Jerry was a junior EAL captain, he tended to get trips that had him up and out of the house very early in the morning. One morning, he had to rise and shine at 4:30 a.m., and upon emerging from his shower with a towel wrapped around him, he announced to me that he would like his coffee now. I politely told him that he was not God until he got on his airplane. He went to the kitchen, made his coffee, then dressed and went off to fly his trip. Several months later, I had the privilege of riding along on a trip where Jerry was captain. I had a comfortable first-class seat, got the warm smoked almonds, remember those, and a nice cocktail. About half an hour into the flight, the handsome young flight engineer approached me asking if I was Mrs. Frost. "Yes, I am," said I, beaming with pride. He presented me with a small tray, which held a cup of coffee, a sugar packet, cream, and a spoon. Then he smiled and said, "I'm here to tell you that God wants his coffee now." That story has such a happy memory for us. And by the way, when you order a copy of this fabulous book, The Wings of Many, or Man, you'll certainly be impressed by its beautiful cover as rendered by Captain Jerry Frost. Howard?
Well, let's see if I can get Howard to come to the microphone. And Howard, you are on now.
Here is a snippet from the Wings book that Neil has compiled. The book makes a wonderful must-read, particularly if you are an Eastern employee. The snippet goes like this. There was a little old lady, obviously making her first trip, and not real sure she approved of the way things were going. She asked Furman Stone how he managed to know where he was going when it was so dark outside. Furman, ever the diplomat, assured the little old lady there was nothing to worry about by saying, "Do you see the red light out there on the left side of the aircraft and the green light on the right? Well, we just keep the plane right between those lights, and then we know we're on course." The little lady could not argue with that kind of logic, and so promptly went to sleep for the remainder of the trip. End of snippet.
Very good, Howard. Thank you. Jim?
Jim Graybill.
Yeah. I've heard this, and maybe you haven't. You know, there's a trip going out of Miami, going down to San Juan one day, and kind of a new co-pilot flying with one of these old grumpy captains, and captain was about half asleep over there, and co-pilot's got this thunderstorm that's come up in front of him, and finally he decided, well, I better wake the captain up and ask him what he wants me to do. So he woke him up and he said, "Captain, you want me to circumnavigate that thunderhead up there?" The captain says, "Hell no, fly around it. We haven't got enough fuel."
Fly around it. We don't have enough fuel. Okay. All right, we have a short one here, and John Reinhardt is here to say that he'd like to tell this one. John? Let's see if we can get you a hot mic here. This one is better. Try that one, John.
All right, great. This one is about the time during an instrument check
the Czech pilot cut the engine on one certain captain just as they were coming up on the range station on final. This particular captain was not noted for his patience or understanding. And instead of going through the feather procedure as expected, he pulled the mixtures back into Rich. The engine caught up, and he completed the approach on two engines. When asked about his actions by the Czech pilot, the surly veteran merely replied, "There are certain times when engines don't fail, and that was one of them." Captain Keith Murray, July 1978. Repartee.
I wish I could have done something like that on the check ride.
Oh, that's great stuff, Neil. You'll have to tell us again how to order the book. Tell us how you can order the book, and let's see if we can get an update of the status of First Flight. Cecile, can you give us a report, please?
Okay, Neil, you want to tell us how you order the book, or you want the... flight first.
Well, let's see. Yeah, I can real quickly tell everyone that they can order the Wings of Many by just going to the website EALradioshow.com, and there on the home page, when you land there, you'll see in the middle of the page donation, and if you'll make a donation of over $15, you got the book. We'll send it out to you. And by the way, when you hit donations, it'll take you to a charge that you can use your Visa, MasterCharge, or American Express, or PayPal. Any of those will work. And or either you can send your check to EAL Radio Show, address is 145 Hilden, that's H-I-L, D-E-N, Hilden Road, Suite 115, Ponte Vedra, Florida, 32081. And by the way, it's only $14.95, and any profits that we make go into keeping the radio show alive and the website as well. And by the way, I think if you've never been to our website, there's so much there that you can browse for hours and still not have seen everything that the website offers. So we like to keep that going and updated, as well as doing the radio show every Monday night with the entertaining stories that we've heard tonight. And you'll find more of those, so many more, in Volume 1 of The Wings of Many, and Volume 2 expected to come out in late fall. So, Cecile, back to you. Tell us about First Flight.
Okay. Well, we sent a letter out. Neil, Jim, and I sent a letter out, and I'm the assistant to Neil and
Leave
Jim.
That open now.
And we have a targeted date of April 17th, because it's after tax day, after Easter, and the hotel rates at San Juan will be better. That's all subject to change, of course, until Eastern gets certified. We've requested in the letter your passport number and driver's license for ID so that I can log it. The log is secure. The manifest is secure. Only I and Neil have the manifest. A lot of you have already sent it, so thank you very much for your cooperation. If you haven't done so, please do so as soon as you can so we don't have it all at the last minute. Then you'll just be asked to present that when you board the plane. We're not getting many cancellations. I think we've only had 4. We're reserving them in case we get dignitaries that are going to be on the flight. And if not, you'll be called by the date of your email. Of coaches, $285 round trip per person. First class is $385. We have a couple of people that have requested first class. They're on the wait list. And that's about it, Neil. We still have like about 100 people on standby, so we will have a full plane. It's just a matter of getting the date and then going with everybody's schedule, and hopefully we'll have a great time. We did have a couple of questions, Neil. What the 175 covers? Could you explain to them what the 175 covers?
Yeah, Cecile, we have activities at the Intercontinental Hotel. that we have to pay separately from our room. By the way, the folks I think you just mentioned will have to make their room reservations on their own. They can call the 800 number that we give when we're ready to announce that they are receiving a room reservation. So you'll make and make that reservations on your own, and we want to make sure that we have a firm date before we do that. And they do give us a little leeway there, or a little a margin there, that if you have to cancel, there is a cancellation date as well. But in addition to the rooms, we are also going to provide a meal, the banquet, and some the ground transportation to and from the airplane, from the airport to the hotel and back, and a little bag of goodies that we hope to be able to present each one of our passengers on first flight. Now, keep in mind, we're going to give you enough notification that when we do say, okay, it's a go, the date is firm, it's fixed, the hotels are ready to receive your reservations, then we expect on a certain date, and we'll announce that date, that we must receive the airfare for Eastern Airlines. And the airfare, as mentioned by Cecile, will have to be paid if you're going coach or either first class by that date. If you don't come up with the payment by that date, and we do have a means of collecting via PayPal that you can charge it. And by the way, that's in an escrow account by the Eastern Radio Show, is holding an escrow account for the purpose of holding all funds. And if for some reason the entire flight is canceled, they can't do it, we have to refund monies. That money is safe and secure and will be sent back to you immediately. And we'll have that, because that's the way escrow accounts are. We're handling some other, we're handling other folks' money, and so we have to be very accurate and careful about how that is handled. So keep in mind, when we publish a date, we expect that by that date and no later, that we do have the airfare and the other, especially the airfare, because we have to send one check to the New Eastern Airlines company, and that takes care of the charter there and back. And we do have, again, two nights in San Juan. We get there in the morning. The first night we have the meet and greet with an open bar, and hopefully we'll have some hors d'oeuvres that go along. And that's the reason for the $175 extra pricing, Cecile.
And the hotel is booked directly with the hotel at a discounted rate, and so they can pay with credit card or however way they want to pay it. And the other thing is, Eastern Airlines needs the passenger list 15 days before departure, the final list, for vetting purposes. So we're going to be, that's why if everybody could keep sending me their IDs so I have it ready to go whenever we have to go. And, Neil, I think after Easter and after tax day is going to be great, because we get a discount at hotels, don't we? We get a better discount?
Yeah. In April, yeah, the prices go down by about $100. So, you know.
Hey, Neil, I got
that,
one question, Neil.
Yeah, Vito.
Neil, I have one question.
Go ahead.
The question is, that $175, is that per person or for couple?
Per person. Per person.
Per person?
And if,
okay.
Yeah. And if you're, of course, a couple or a significant other, or however it's politically correct, I should say, two in a room, then,
yeah.
Of course, you save that, because the room rates are based on the room, not the number of people in that room. So I suppose if you bring your whole family and you get a couple of cots to put in there, then there might be a charge for that. But at any rate, those people, and we have a lot of flight attendants, by the way, that have made note, that are going, and they're, you know, buddies, and so they'll be sharing rooms, and good savings there. But yeah, to answer your question, Vito, the $175 is per person.
And we also have a neat goodie bag that's included in that, and Neil can tell you, or we're going to keep it a secret what's in the goodie bag, but there's some neat stuff in it.
Very neat
right,
stuff,
Neil?
Yeah. Yeah, and it will be in keeping with First Flight the very first flight of the Eastern's new history, the inaugural flight. So I think it'll be fun. I think everyone will have a good time. Now, we'll be telling you more about also the Miami Hotel, where we will recommend that if you're flying in from out of the state of Florida or from the Miami area, that you'll want to stay there, because a little activity will be there also. And hopefully we'll have a meet and greet time, and we'll let you know where that is, and we'll try to give you the best savings for that hotel. And we haven't decided yet.
I've also had questions, where is the airplane going to be? We don't know any of the answers, but when we do know, Neil, Jim, and I will put out another email with everything itemized as to where everything is going to be.
Very good. Okay. And by the way, keep tuned in to what's going on by going to the EALradioshow.com, and there we'll be publishing more information as we receive it and as we tell you more about the Miami Hotel and other important things that we want to give to those people who will be traveling with us. I hear the music in the background.
Well, Neil, there's that music again. Where does the time go? Jim, would you take us out of here?
We'll be back with you next week, same time, same station. www.ealradioshow.com. And like one of our popular commercials for many, many years, we're doing everything we can to earn our wings every day. And we hope we are doing so here at the EAL Radio Show. Next week, we hope we are again flying Eastern Airlines. We are so happy that you are with us. And we bring you more Eastern news and radio and history. Talk with former Eastern employees and friends of Eastern. Be sure to tune in and call at 7 p.m. when flight 206 departs the gate for a new adventure. Be on board for the radio voice of Eastern Airlines. And from all the gang here at the studio and remote locations, we say all together now,
good night,
Eastern family, and
good
happy
night,
new
Eastern
year.
Family,
and happy new year.
Good night.
See you next week.
Cecile, you still there? Cecile, are you still there?
She's signed off.
Jim is here.
I just wanted to deal if she had my correct email, because
okay.
I haven't gotten anything from you all.
Okay.
I got Jim's deal, but I've got anything
from
her.
Did you call me?
Yeah, Cecile.
Yeah, what's your phone number?
Cecile?
I'm sorry? Yes, sir?
Jim Graybill wants to give you his email address.
Okay. Hold on. Let me get a pencil. Go ahead.
And Cecile, this is Jim. I sent my info today via email.
I got it. Thank you, Jim. Okay, go ahead, Jim Graybill.
Yep.
Okay, it's uppercase EAL 757. Comcast.net.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you get that?
Comcast.net. Okay. I'll send you an email.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
Yeah.